Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hello. 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 And welcome to Your Two Dads.
Sean, your intros are getting more and more natural, and I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
You're really
been working on this.
Stepping into your natural voice.
Yeah, I'm Sean.
And I'm Julian. And together, we're my two dads.
No!
We're your two zaddies. Your two zaddies.
Yeah, your two zaddies.
Zaddy means like a dad who just doesn't play by the rules, right?
I think it's a zaddy means that you're a dad who's super fucking hot with a hot uncut cock.
Well, then we got to change the name of this podcast.
Yeah, because no cock could be more cut than mine.
That's it true.
Sliced up.
Was it cut?
Oh, it's
cut
so
real
cut.
Good.
Oh my God! You would think that the guy who did my circumcision was Freddy freaking Krueger.
Hey, whatever happened to him?
Oh,
he was so good in those nightmare movies, yeah. And then you never saw him again.
Yeah, he retired. He's living in Florida right now.
He would have been great as E.T.
He would have been.
You're smelling like smoke a little bit there, Sean.
Yeah, I smoke
still
cigarettes.
Smoking. You're smoking old school ciggies, like a bad boy in the...
Like a non-millennial.
Yeah, like
Gen Z-er.
Where's your leather jacket? You should get a leather jacket. Oh. Oh, man.
My apologies to the Anthony Jeselnik podcast where we share microphones with them.
Wait. Oh, I know. That's right. I'm going to tell Mrs. Frzinski that you're smoking.
Don't tell Mrs. Frzinski that.
I'm going
to. No.
Ostensibly, if you're just tuning in for the first time, and I don't know why this episode would be that time, but if you are, this is a show about parenting, supposedly.
Yeah, we're two dads who talk about, I guess, being dads.
I would say here's how it goes down. We start talking, and then if we can relate it to kids, we do.
Yes, we're like
that's about as. Wait. Oh. Okay. So, what are you gonna do for? Are you looking forward to Christmas? No, let's do Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Are you looking forward to Thanksgiving?
Leave all of that in, Coach.
I'll tell you, I got confused with the chronology of when we were recording. I'm like, oh no, but it's real time now.
Yeah, this comes out tonight, like it comes out in 3 hours.
It's gonna come out viscous.
Yeah. So I, you could even ask me, what are you doing for 11/11, which is Veterans Day?
What are you doing for Veterans Day?
Well, of course, I'm giving it up for the troops.
All right.
And if
so, you're pro troop.
Yeah. If you're in a car right now, give it up for the troops.
Yeah.
Give it up for the troops. Give it up for yourselves.
And let's not forget all of the branches. You got your Army. You got your Navy. You got Goof Troop.
Yeah, Goof Troop. Air Force. Air Force.
And whatever Stripes was about. Was that? I don't know what they were.
I think the Army. I think it was the Army. Veterans Day, basically what I do is I just drive around whatever city I'm in, which tomorrow will be L.A., and I just salute anyone I think is a veteran.
Anyone with good posture.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And anyone who just looks like they voted for Trump, I just do
you
the old two-finger salute.
It's a little. It's interesting because this holiday is gonna have a lot of American flag stuff going on, and the American flag has definitely changed in terms of what it means to people now.
Yeah,
you
see,
know?
To me, it means freedom and patriotism.
Your parents seem like people who would care about Veterans Day.
I mean, they seem like it, but I know that they personally do not.
Okay,
but they'll probably post a meme tomorrow on Facebook because they're still on.
Well,
Facebook.
That's your American duty is to post a meme.
You gotta post a meme.
You gotta post a meme.
That's what the troops would have wanted.
Yeah.
But anyway, how you dadding?
I'm dadding pretty good. Let's see. I think I'm debating whether to put Goldie in tennis lessons or to just buy a couple of rackets and teach her myself.
I think tennis lessons.
Okay, how are you, Daddy?
if you have to. I am dadding great. We went to see Peppa Pig live today at the Microsoft Theater.
Oh, my God. Don't leave anything out.
I don't plan on it. So Peppa Pig Live is an original live show starring the cast of Peppa Pig, but they're just like little...
But they're not the actors from the show.
No, they're just like little felt like puppets, and behind them are just like actors dressed in all black controlling their moves.
Oh, so it's not... I pictured it on ice.
No, not on ice. Oh my God, were they...
I thought it was on
not
ice.
Not on ice.
Okay.
No, and then they have this new character who's a just a regular human girl named Daisy, who like she comes out and like I guess they recruited her from like the Church of Latter-day Saints. And she's just like, hello, everyone, I'm Daisy, and I'm the new student here. Ah, I can't wait to meet Peppa Pig. Which, by the way, if you're going to a new school, how do you know just one student?
Don't you remember when you would go to a new school, one student was already famous?
I can't wait to meet Alex Henn. He's ambidextrous at his layups. But so we went to that. But also Daisy felt, my wife and I, Aaron, we were talking a lot about this Daisy character, and our perfect description of Daisy was she was the Poochie of the
thing. Oh, yeah?
Is when she wasn't on stage, everyone was talking about Daisy. Like, every character was obsessed with Daisy, who's a character none of the fucking kids knew who it was.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. I think she's supposed to be
a writer. Why did they do that?
I think she's supposed to be the voice
of the
audience.
Yeah.
But, like, truly, like, they went camping, and then all the kids, like Peppa and George and Gerard
Depardieu?
Gerard the giraffe. Uh-huh. They're all like, I want to sleep with Daisy, or I want to share a tent with Daisy.
I'm just so mad it wasn't Pigs on Ice. I think that would have been a lot of fun. That not to be confused with the Police Athletic Hockey League.
Yeah. No, but it was interesting, and you got to see like some like real Z-list celebrities, like Bob, Dr. Drew's podcasting partner. Who,
Yeah,
he's like an ex-rocker who's sober for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. He was wearing a big ass hat. And Jeff from Flipping Out on Bravo.
Let me ask you this. When you walk up to this, where was it? What was the venue?
The Microsoft Theater, which is right across from the Staples Center.
Okay. And when you're walking up to this thing.
It's where I lost an Emmy 2 months ago.
Did you find it?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. You literally lost. When you're walking up to this thing, how's the merch onslaught?
Oh, the merch onslaught, actually, like, I was kind of... My wife and I were both kind of disappointed that there wasn't more.
Really?
Like, more options. Basically, they have those, like...
Light-up balloon things, right?
The light-up spinner. Like, okay, where you spin, it spins, and then, like, if your kid's epileptic, you find out at Peppa Pig Live.
I mean, you know, at least then we learned something.
Yeah. And then they just had one T-shirt for kids, one T-shirt for adult men.
That's crazy.
And one T-shirt for adult women. That's it.
Wow, I was at the Morrissey show. There were 75 options.
I know. Well, yeah. Do you want to go with like Racist Against the Chinese Morrissey?
They had all his best quotes. They had all his best quotes on the. That's surprising because I know that Lulu has been to Frozen on Ice, which does make sense.
Yeah, that
and
honestly, that's maybe a hat on a hat.
Okay. Right, I know, exactly. But apparently the merch onslaught was like fucking
that's
bonkers. But Peppa Pig is not Disney.
No, exactly. Peppa Pig, this is their first tour, so I think they're going to realize they left a lot of money on the table.
I love the idea that they just didn't realize how much money was there. Because that is so something people don't do anymore. No one undersells anything anymore.
Yeah.
So the fact that Peppa, that's a testament to what a wonderful show Peppa is that they only had one shirt
one
ready.
One shirt. There was the shirt for dads, which said, Daddy Pig is an expert at snoring.
Oh, and then you get one?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Then there was like a Mommy Pig.
You should have bought one if it just said Daddy Pig.
I 100% would have bought a shirt that just said Daddy Pig. Like, not it didn't need a picture of him.
No,
just
I'm
like,
saying just his Daddy
the
Pig.
The words, like the John Belushi
college.
Yeah, I'm a Daddy Pig. What do we got today?
Did Nolan love it?
Oh my God, he fucking loved it. He was dancing on like dancing in the aisle. He was trying to test his boundaries to see if he could like run up to the stage. Yeah. Like, and he was like looking back.
I'm sure he wasn't
like,
the only one.
Why aren't you stopping me? Right. I'm doing something bad. I was like, I don't care.
You're like, I don't care if this whole place burns down.
But we did decide that the next thing we're going to do with him is go to the Harlem Globetrotters on February 16th.
Did I ever tell you? He might be a little young for that, but there's you'll have fun.
Yeah, no, I just feel like my parents neglected me by never taking me to see the Harlem Globetrotters, and I want to see them.
A friend's dad took me when I was six, and I swear to God, and this is from comedian to comedian, I laughed at one point so hard and with so much, like, unbridled joy in my stomach that I remember it today as like the most I've ever laughed.
Was
the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wow.
It was the best show I've ever seen.
It's when they spun the basketball on their penis.
No, I've been chasing. That's the dragon I've been chasing my whole life is the Harlem Globetrotters laugh.
What was the laugh?
I'll tell you. I don't want to ruin it for you. Have you seen a whole Harlem Globetrotters show?
You don't think they've updated the show since 1963?
I don't know how they could improve on it, to be honest. 63. Go fuck yourself, daddy pig. They line up like football, which is hilarious as a six-year-old boy. You're like, this is a different sport.
Yeah. How are they doing this? This is against the rules.
So they line up like football, and then they hike it, and they hiked it to a placeholder, and then a dude kicked a fucking ball, a basketball, from half fucking court and made it. I swear to God.
Okay, that...
And I lost my I was like, I left my body. I was like, that was the best thing I've ever seen.
I mean, that sounds incredible.
It's incredible. To this day, I'm like, that couldn't have happened. But they didn't fail at anything. I remember thinking the entire game was perfect. They never fucked up.
It's so insane that they don't play in the NBA.
They did lose. Yeah, I know. It is insane. Who knows? They're not good at passing. I don't know what it is. Okay, we got to get started. We have an amazing show today. This guy, Dad's the Right Way. I mean, selfless, you know, he worked hard. He made it happen. A lot of sacrifice. Did the stuff anyway. Became an extremely successful comedian. You might remember him from Chelsea Lately. He was a huge regular writer and performer on that show. He now has his own show on YouTube.
Called The Fairly Normal Podcast. It's a live podcast.
Oh, it's a live podcast that he's doing. Okay, but he does film it, and you can watch it on YouTube.
And I think he also has a podcast with Freddie Prinze called Prinze and the Wolf or something.
Oh, well, we got to ask him about that.
Yeah.
We got to have it. Was he in that?
Yeah.
That was Freddie Prinze, right?
What?
She's got to have it?
No. That's about...
what am I thinking of? Oh, She's All That.
She's All That. She's got to have it was about...
Wait, Freddie Prinze wasn't in the Spike Lee joint? She's got to have it?
No.
All right. Well... Yeah,
but this is Josh Wolf.
Josh Wolf, everybody. Yeah. So this is a parenting podcast.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah,
you are the first dad we've had on whose kids have moved out.
Yeah.
So you're like, how old are your kids again?
27, 26, and 22.
Nice.
Are you drinking a bottle of wine?
In Prosecco. Yeah.
It's from our last guest. Okay, it doesn't count. Yeah. It doesn't count if it's a gift.
But it's very like drinking a straight out of a bottle of champagne or wine is either super alcoholic or super rock and roll.
It is.
It's one of the two.
I think it's a bit of both, but not. Neither, because what it was my mouth was so dry, I just needed some sort of water.
Yeah.
I do that when my veins get dry with heroin.
Yeah. My kids are old, man.
Yeah.
That's not old. They're in the prime of their life.
I'm not. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
No, but that's great. And what was the hardest period? I don't want to assume.
Well, you look
teenage.
36.
There you go, man.
You look amazing.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so you had a child at 10?
I smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
I think it preserves you.
I do. I see that,
I think weed, and then when people stop doing drugs, look, Keith Richards has looked the same forever.
Yeah.
Well,
because he just started doing drugs, it aged him, and then he just stayed.
I don't want to go on another tangent, but heroin does make you look younger.
It does.
That's a science
thing. It ferments
you.
It's formaldehyde.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part is teenage.
Yeah. Looking back on it, is there anything you wish you knew then or, you know, like what's something that you...
The biggest thing.
What would you have told yourself back then today about...
The absolute biggest thing that I wish I had known was that your kids are not listening. Every speech you give, every this is why, every rundown you give...
They're not listening.
They're thinking... Think what you did when your parents talked to you.
Okay, okay, okay.
You were like, shh, I can't wait for them to... Your kids learn by watching you.
Yeah.
So if you're if you wonder why when your kid gets older he treats women a certain way or treats men a certain way or they watched your relationship. That's it. They watched how you behave around your significant other. If you are like, I don't know why he drinks. You opened a bottle of wine every night.
Yeah.
That's why. You don't know why he smokes? Or she smokes?
Mm-hmm.
You smoke.
Yeah.
So they watch you. They emulate you. That's how they get your tone and your inflection. They are watching and they're picking up and they're sponges. So I wish I had been more aware of what I was doing. I was always aware of what I was saying. But then I realized, they're not listening to a fucking word I say.
Yeah.
They're watching me.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the biggest one for me. And I see it in all the kids. All my kids are different because I was behaving differently at different ages.
Okay.
For them.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And so it was
But you see that you see that with families that have a lot of siblings mm-hmm. where the older one is a certain way, the younger one, and they always say it's like middle child syndrome, but I bet it's because if the parents' behavior changed.
Some of it.
They were modeled differently.
You also have to think about this, and I've apologized to my oldest son about this. I told him, I go, hey, man, I
never loved you.
Yeah. I really apologize.
Man, my bad.
Yeah. I should have learned your name.
Because you're cool.
Yeah. I was calling you kid for so long. Was that I apologize. I go, hey, you know, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing with you.
How old were you when you had him?
We were first, right? Well, when I met a woman. She had two kids. We had a kid together. When I kicked her out, I just kept all three kids. I kept her two kids and I kept my kid. But I was like, I was guessing. With your oldest, you're guessing.
Yeah.
And it you start to figure things out a little more after you have, but you're like, everything is, the oldest is the guinea pig.
Yeah.
That's why I think the oldest has the most issues. In my family, the oldest had the most issues.
Yeah.
Because you had to put up with the worst parents.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they get the youngest, I was the youngest. You know what my dad said to me once? I asked him, I was a senior in high school, and I was like, what time do you want me home? He goes, just don't die. That was it. He was done parenting.
That's great.
His parenting was just have a heartbeat when you come home, man. Like, everything else I told everybody else never stuck. So how about just stay alive and come home? But that is in it. When I look back, and I look back also, the other thing that you don't realize is that you'll say something. How old are your kids?
Two and a half.
Okay, so not quite yet, but you will soon. You'll say something to one of your kids. This is frightening. That will stick with them for the rest of their lives.
I already feel like that's happened, but I don't know.
And you have no idea what it is.
No, you don't know which one it is.
Those big, heavy speeches?
Yeah.
They don't. But you might say some offhand. I wear a hat.
She's going to grow up and be like, the gin blossoms were overrated.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be like, no!
I wear a hat. When I was 11 years old, my dad, I was washing dishes in the kitchen. And my dad walked to the kitchen, and he said to me was, whew, you have a big forehead. I wore a hat the next day.
Wow.
But he doesn't remember. He didn't remember that until I told the story on stage. But he didn't remember that. He goes, did I really? I go, yeah. But that's what I remember. But to him, it was just an aside.
Yeah.
So you'll have an aside.
To us, we're like, that doesn't sound like something I would say.
Yeah. Did I really say you're dumb?
Yeah.
I guess maybe.
Oh.
But it's those things also. You'll say something or do something that will stick with them.
I know.
And you'll have no idea what
I'm terrified that I'm doing that every day.
You are.
Which one is it? Which one is it going to be? You know,
what's your biggest? I always ask parents this: like, what do you hope the character trait that your kids pick up, and what do you hope the character trait you have that they don't pick up?
I want to answer that, but real quick, because your dad said just come home with a heartbeat.
Yeah,
my dad's thing: he would always leave me five every day for lunch for food until I saw him that night.
Yeah,
was $5. So he would give me $5 a day in the morning. This was in high school,
mm-hmm.
and a note that would just say "Be you" and then "Love Dad," and I was like, "This is great." Who am I exactly?
Yeah.
You forgot to tell me who I am.
And who am I that you think I can spend only just $5 for the whole day?
Yeah. Yeah, but if you multiply that over the course of a year, it's like something like $70.
Yeah.
So that is a lot of money.
So you almost could have taken someone out to dinner. Yeah.
Okay, so the answer is what trait the question is
character trait that you hope your kids take of yours and the one that you hope they don't.
Sean, you go first.
I mean, 100%, I hope the trait I don't want him to have is I want him to be more self-sufficient than I am. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fucking clueless when it comes to...
Yet to do a load of laundry, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's a big thing between my wife and I. Please don't mention it.
Wait, you mean like just being doing things on your own as a grown-up?
Yeah, like being able to do like housework. I'm real bad at housework.
But like, what is that a bigger thing? Is that just you and like responsibility stuff?
It's kind of a responsibility thing. So basically, my mom never did everything for me and never wanted me to do anything. So then when I got out into the world,
it's so weird that you were helpless.
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, she set me up. Like, she set me up to never leave.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I left home, and I foiled her plan.
She's like, you don't need to learn how to do that. I'll always be here.
Yeah. And then,
now bend over. Let me wipe your ass.
Which I do miss. Yeah.
I mean, have you ever wiped your own ass? It's the worst.
I haven't. It's terrible.
I've had Sean's mom doing it for so long.
Me too.
But the trait I hope he gets is like, you know, just being fucking chill. Mm-hmm. Like, just being a chill person and like, day-to-day
that's what stuff. You want him to have from you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I know I get stressed and stuff, but for the most part, I'm, like, kind of even-keeled all day long.
But
like,
you know what? Yeah. Oddly enough, those two things that you mentioned kind of go together.
How?
Do you know what I mean? Like, you,
oh,
like,
certainly, yeah.
Like, you being incredibly chilled and not really caring and also not doing anything. You know what I mean?
So, right.
It's like the same thing, but you just said it differently. You know what I mean?
You're like,
that's a really like weird.
You did that job interview thing where you're like, oh my.
That was really.
Oh, yeah. That was brilliant. My greatest weakness?
Yeah.
My strength.
My strength.
What about you, man?
That's great. The thing, it's so much easier to answer the negative one. I don't know if you're like this. You seem like a positive guy.
I'm
you're
a positive
one of the
guy.
Only, you're one of the only guys I've ever met in this business, and there's only a handful of you that seem like pretty positive people.
Very positive person.
That are funny. Yeah. It's like a really, and I don't mean positive like, because I think from the outside, a lot of people think we're all positive because we are so funny.
They don't know us.
But they don't know the difference. Yeah. But there's a difference between guys like you and most guys in this business because you don't seem... like fatalistic, you know what I mean?
And I'm not angry. For me,
you're not self-loathing.
No,
and it's a mystery to me, and it's great, you know.
I can tell you what it is.
I said the same thing to Pete Holmes years ago, and I was like, I've always hated that about you.
He's
but it doesn't bother me when you do it.
I can tell you what it is for me. It is having kids early.
Just yeah,
completely shook up what I knew to be important.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I would leave auditions. You know how you could leave an audition and you think about it until
the next one.
Yeah, I had to figure out how to feed my kids.
Yeah,
it was gone as soon as I walked out of the office. It was gone because what was important of me was right to me was I was single. I was raising three kids, and what was important was all right. How do I get to tomorrow? So all this other stuff really. I got to put in perspective real early on in my life because I see, look, our business inherently, you have to think about yourself all the time.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be some self-loathing
that
comes with that.
Yeah.
Unless you're a complete sociopath.
And then, exactly. And then all like that negativity towards others is because like, you're like, oh, they got it. How'd they get it?
Yeah.
What did they do differently?
Yeah.
So the idea of like, truly like I, having a kid has completely chilled me out just being like, well, I just have to work.
So what are traits for you?
So then, so I would say the one I don't want her to pick up on is probably
shitty tattoos.
No, there's nothing you can do about that. I would say the idea that I just had it, and then Sean said that, and then I lost it. Oh, ADD. No. No, it would be that I don't want her to think. Oh, just that the negative, the self-loathing, essentially.
Yeah,
you know, I hope she is able to experience joy and like be in the moment and have a good time. And I think
that's
for
really important
for a long time. For I'm just now doing the very long and arduous process of being able to do that for the first time. And I've like kind of. semi-retired from stand-up because I couldn't do both. So I'm like, I've taken a large break from this career because I was like, I'm not enjoying anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't know how to have fun. And so I want for her to be able to have fun and like know that she's having a good time. And I'm already worried about her.
Yeah.
She seems extremely analytical. She has a hard time talking about her feelings already. She's only six. And I'm like, you know, I do blame her mom a lot for that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I hope that I can reparent that.
You know, that's really interesting, man. You know, that's so true for a lot of people in our business in this town, not in a lot of other towns,
mm-hmm.
but because this town makes
me think. I didn't grow up here or anything, but.
But once you get here,
yeah,
this town makes you think if you don't continuously grind,
yeah,
you're out.
Right.
Yes.
If you aren't constantly on the wheel,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing here?
I think I didn't know that I was doing it. Deliberately, but looking back on it now, a few years into this process, I realize I wanted to step off the wheel to be like, I'm still a person.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean. Like, I'm a person without this, and I'm kind of seeing it now, and I'm feeling a lot better about it. I'm gonna re-enter it.
Yeah,
but I'm still gonna wait until like I feel like I know what I'm bringing back to it.
But I think it'll be fascinating how your writing changes and what mm-hmm. you decide to talk about because you're a really good writer.
Thank you.
And so I'm curious to see how you attack jokes.
I don't have the funny parts yet. I have wisdom finally,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I don't know. It's not funny yet, so I'm not going to bring it back. The worst thing you can do is get on stage and tell people
and give a TED talk.
The worst.
I do think in like 3 months we're going to hear Julian has transitioned to become a life coach. He's going to be like Tony Robbins type. He's like, you can be
you. Kyle Cease?
You know, but you know what? If that is what happens, I'm not going to let people like you stop me.
Yeah.
See, you're already there.
And what do you hope she takes from
me? What I hope she takes from me is, that's a good question. That's why I answered the first one.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's so much easier for me to point out what I want to improve
on. Neither one of you want
on.
Your kids to have your sense of humor?
I have a sense, yeah, I hope a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because I think that's like that's the olive oil of life. You know what I mean? It's like the.
And people, funny people, if you're funny, I know a couple things about you. One, I know you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think dumb people can be funny, like consistently funny.
I can name three dumb comics that are great because it's so weird.
But are they dumb people?
No, they're not dumb. They're just like not intellectual at all. You know what I mean?
Who are they?
Well, one of them was self-proclaimed. Joe Matarese used to say, "I am the dumbest man." I'm a comedy savant.
Joe's dumb,
like, pretty smart.
He's dumb like I would like people to think I'm dumb because, you know, when people don't have expectations for you, it's easy.
Also, he's from Philly, so he's just saying that because that's what his parents told him.
Exactly.
But he's a funny guy, Joe Matarese.
He is. He's great.
He's super into therapy. So he's at least
That was later.
But at least that means he's like emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, it's true. Or he's trying.
Who else you got?
I'm not going to name the names of the fucking dumb people.
Come on, name
a comic anymore.
Sean O'Connor.
I mean, yeah, that's obvious.
Although I have made fun of Sean. I think Sean is one of the best comedy writers in this room. And I also think that... but he is one of the best comedy writers out there. But, and he's open about this too. He came to this town with like a 90-word vocabulary and has a successful comedy writing career. And you've gotten a lot better with learning words and shit.
Oh, yeah. No.
But you're not like an English person.
Oh, no. I dropped out of college to do stand-up when I was like 18. Then I just did stand-up. And then, but yeah, I've just...
But you're not one of the dumb people I was thinking of.
Yeah,
but it is possible to...
No, because like...
I guess it is.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I was more of like a wasted potential according to all of my high school teachers.
Oh, the Jersey. You're the Jersey.
Yeah, the Jersey one. They were like, you could have been the next Bon Jovi. Yeah.
Philly parents
Listen,
are
I'm looking at you right
dumb.
Now. You could not have been the next Bon Jovi. I don't know who told you that. They were lying.
Have you seen his... Have you seen his quads? Oh my God, that guy!
He's
built like a brick shithouse. So I'm not gonna name other dumb comics, but there's dumb seeming comics. I guess that's more accurate.
By the way, I put myself in that group. I put myself in the group. I tell people at all my shows, hey, I hope nobody came here to learn anything tonight.
Yeah.
It's not that. This is right. I'm going to tell you some funny stories and we're going to have a good time.
Right.
And you're not going to have to think. It's like somebody said something to me. He was like, man, I didn't see that joke coming. I'm like, you didn't see one of my jokes coming? Oh, you're not paying attention, man. It's coming
it
right.
Was telegraphed.
It's coming right at your face. Like, that's you're not. Great. Yeah. No shame in. There's no shame in that either, I don't think.
Right. Well, another thing I hope she gets for me is not the way I survived, but I have a very strong survival.
It's a huge one.
Yeah.
I think it's
I'm a survivor. Yeah. And like, I am trying to alter how I do it now because, like, I.
Yeah, you don't want her, like, renting out her bedroom. So, like.
That was one night a guy handing out flyers can fuck somebody met on the street. Well, I don't think Luis Gomez would care if we named him.
I did, just as I don't want to get this shit kicked out of me.
But that survival mode is interesting because I know people, and I found myself in this, especially when I was single, raising the kids. That for a while, I was most comfortable in survival mode.
Yeah, right.
I needed to be in survival mode to learn how to get through everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous spot to be in.
It is, because what ends up happening is you want to live in that space where you're just making it, because that's where you feel comfortable. So I'm just making it.
Yeah.
So once you start to get any kind of abundance in your life, you don't know what to do with it, and then you fucking ruin it.
Yep.
Because you're like, that's too uncomfortable. I want to be right on the margin of where I might...
That took me a long time to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want my kids seeing that all the time.
Right.
Because that's how, because when you're in survival mode, you're constantly like, your shoulders are always up and you're always just worried.
Mm-hmm.
And survival mode means you're on the wheel.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I'm like, you know what? From here on out, at least one weekend a month, we don't have to take an exorbitant, but we're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to live. I'm not going to sit here and just get on a plane, get off a plane, come back home, unpack my bag, pack my bag, get on a plane. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that shit anymore.
Yeah.
I want to
do... One of these times, you're going to unpack my bag.
Yeah. Come on. Let's get with it. What the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, come on.
No, but that's
on.
Great. I don't want to interrupt.
No, but that's... I'm with you. Like, yeah. You need to live.
Mm-hmm.
I just sometimes forget to live. Mostly also, I want my kids to see, hey, like, you also have to, you can't wake up and be like, holy shit, I didn't do this and this and this and this. All I've been doing is working every day of my life, and I got nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. No, no, no.
You don't want that.
No, no, man. I want to do some weird shit. I want to do some things. I definitely want...
The more I'm talking to you, the more I feel like you're Matthew McConaughey if he only had thousands of dollars. But I like you more. I relate to you more.
That is great.
But I bet you were a great dad. I mean, I know you have some things you wish you'd done differently, but I bet they're good kids.
They're good kids. My youngest son is, he's a lot like me. He's the most like me.
Mm-hmm. So he's struggling the most.
Yeah, he's struggling the most. He's the one I like the most.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but my oldest son is, we couldn't be different in so many ways. He joined the Army. He's Republican.
This is your oldest son?
My oldest son. Mm-hmm. He's already got four kids, so I'm a grandfather. He got married real early. Like he and I connect in completely different way than my youngest son and I mm-hmm. connect. My youngest son, he finishes sentences for me. Like, when I used to go to the auditions, and he was two, he would sit next to the casting director.
Nuh-uh.
He would know when to laugh. He laughed at the
right
places.
And they would
places.
Still not give you shit?
I know!
I can't believe that!
I know!
I never even thought of doing that. That's fucking brilliant.
You know what it ended up happening is they paid more attention to the kid than you.
Oh, they were like, oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you read yet? Yes, yeah. I read! Yeah, he never got me a role. I went in for an audition once, and I didn't book it, but my three kids did.
Wow.
It was for a Fox World Series commercial, and I went in, and I didn't have a sitter. So I was like, hey, you guys got to come in and sit with them. And they were funny walking in, and we were having a good time, and they sat with the guy after they read. They were like, hey, so can we put them in the commercial? And I was like, yeah, all of us? And they were like, no.
We like a different dad.
Yeah, we already cast
they're like,
the dad.
You need to feed. Yeah. They're like, if you're in it, then who's going to feed your meter?
Yeah, it was not, but yeah, they booked one before I
That's
did.
Crazy.
Yeah, but you know, the best part about that was I was
They
like,
never got those checks,
not
though.
Not one dime of it. Nah, that's not true. I bought them a sandwich or something. But
yeah.
We did weird shit. You know, I had no money. I was raising
three
kids.
They still look back and they're like, hey, that's that time we got that sandwich.
Yeah. Is that what we get paid for being on TV? Sandwiches? Yeah. Yeah, you get sandwiches. We did shit to, because we had no money, like instead of, we didn't have money to go to an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids, what they loved, what I would do is I would take them to an empty parking lot. And I would put them in the trunk of my car, and we would just drive around.
You're kidding me.
That was their roller coaster. I'd hit speed bumps or whatever. I'd stop. I'd start. You could hear them just tumbling around back there, having fun, laughing.
That's crazy.
We used to go to the Rock and Roll Ralph's on Sunset.
Uh-huh.
And the woman who served the hot food, there was about 4 months, maybe 5 months, where I could
Wait,
only...
there's a Rock and Roll Ralph's?
That's what they call it, Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Which one is it?
On Sunset.
It's on Sunset. If you're going towards where like Meltdown was and like the Guitar Center.
It's like, yeah, right there.
There's a Ralph's over there. Okay.
Yeah. And so there was a woman who gave out the hot food. There was a period of time, like 4 or 5 months, where we could only afford one meal a day. So I had to figure out, and we would go to Ralph's, and she would dish us the hot food, and we would just eat it before we left the store. I would walk them up and down the aisles and do always tour guide. I would practice jokes on them.
Yeah. You're like, Pop-Tarts? Yeah. What's the deal?
Yeah. I was trying to write jokes for all that shit. But we were walking out of the store once, and they had eaten their meal. And my son says to me, is this stealing? I said, do you have anything in your pockets? And he said, no. I'm like, not stealing. And he was like, but it's in my stomach. I'm like, they can't come get that, though, can they?
Yeah.
But they learned.
But don't fart. They'll smell it.
Yeah. Yeah. That, but all those things, like when I recently had a birthday, and so all my adult kids were here, and the other thing I would tell you, this is maybe the most important thing.
Okay,
make memories. They don't even have to be in the moment. When you sit down and they're older, you want them to be, remember that time. Most of the stories come from that period when we were super poor,
mm-hmm.
and we had to invent. Fun,
yeah.
You hear them talk about getting in the trunk of that car,
yeah.
It's hilarious eating that food. I was the original put your kid in a wheelchair to cut lines at Disneyland. I was doing that. I was doing that before. It was cool,
yeah.
But
by the way, not so much a survival tactic. Yeah, it's kind of a luxury.
Yeah, that's less survival. But like all those things that I thought were like bad or
yeah.
That's what they remember.
Yeah.
All of that shit.
Those are most of my memory. I mean, we were razor margin growing up too.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of my memories are like stuff like that, that I still look back on fondly, and I try to remember if I felt that, you know, the main thing I've noticed is if they don't seem freaked out by it,
yeah.
You're not going to seem freaked out by it. So no matter what's going on, as long as you're like, this is what's supposed to be happening, kids are like, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it really is true. Like, it never dawned on me that like my family was poor until I went to high school with a bunch of rich kids.
Yeah,
oh yeah, we're poor
because they never told you were poor.
Exactly. Like,
but like you had older brothers or sisters?
I had an older sister.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm the oldest.
Here's the thing: is when you're growing up, you don't remember. Like, remember that time mom cut the crust off my PB&J sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember that, but you're like, hey, remember when fucking Julian fell off the roof?
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, those are the things that you remember.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta push Goldie off the roof.
Yeah.
She said, Lulu needs a memory.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I remember trying to cross the highway and shitting my pants with a car.
What?
A car was about to run a red light. It stopped right in front of me, and I just evacuated.
How old were you?
27. 11.
11?
11. We were walking to CVS.
I know you told this story once before, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's different every time.
Yeah, truly fucking just right up there, like Home Alone-esque, like, wow. But shit.
Who were you with?
That's crazy.
Me, Mike Gilligan, John Zumo. We were walking over to CVS to get basketball
with your
cards.
Friends?
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh, no.
It was so traumatizing.
So what nickname did they give you that? You had to get a nickname that day.
I was already Nugget. It couldn't get worse than Nugget. Nugget of shit. Like Nugget squared.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. How long? Do they still tell you about it?
Uh,
They definitely
the last time I talked to Mike Gilligan, yeah, it was brought it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna every time I see you, I'm gonna ask you about it.
Guys, we'll be right back with a game.
I'm in.
Hey, it's Sean and Julian from the Your Two Dads podcast.
Hey, what the fuckers?
We're the Your Two Dads, guys. We're the two dads from the Your Two Dads podcast, and we're here to talk to you about KiwiCo. When it comes to the holidays, what do most people think of? Food? Yes. Family? No. Quality time? Definitely not. Presents? Oh, hell yeah. Boxes? What?
How about that gravy?
Yeah, I think about the gravy.
Yeah, you got to think about the gravy. But what do you think about the most?
Boxes.
Boxes. Wait, what?
We all love a good subscription box, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we love subscription boxes.
From food boxes to wellness boxes, they're all the rage. But KiwiCo is a subscription that makes the perfect holiday gift for every young explorer, engineer, and artist in your life. Empower them to be creative, confident, and fearless in all their endeavors with KiwiCo's innovative projects. Every day, I talk to the youth of today about STEAM. Science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
Designed by experts and tested by kids, there's no need to research or worry about gathering all the supplies. We got the KiwiCo thing. I had a solar system box for Goldie. She loved it. She put together a solar system model. We talked about day and night that her school hadn't talked to her about yet.
Yeah.
She blew her goddamn mind.
Yeah, so she's just been confused her entire life.
Yeah.
Like, it's day, but then the day goes
well, now
away.
Now she knows. She knows. And Lulu made it's a tree that's like you take the pieces off one at a time and you learn about parts of a tree, but it's also like a Jenga type thing where it might fall.
No, KiwiCo is great.
KiwiCo is awesome.
Now this holiday, give the gift of hands-on learning for tomorrow's makers. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. There's no commitment. You could cancel anytime. Monthly options start at $16.95 a month, including shipping. For our listeners, go to kiwico.com/2dads to get your first month free.
That's the number 2 and dads to get your first month free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Go to kiwi.com/2 and dads and get your first month free.
It's actually kiwico.com/2dads, the number 2 dads, and get
Thank
your
you,
first
Sean.
Month free. That's kiwico.com/2dads.
And we're back. It's Your Two Dads. I'm Julian.
I'm Sean.
And we have Josh Wolf with us today.
And we have a classic Julian
Gooner.
Game.
Gooner.
Gooner's here.
Gooner's here.
The Iceman. that is not your nickname. It is no one's nickname.
Yeah, not this guy's.
Okay. I have a game that, much like all of my games, I have not prepared or written an intro for. I just have
Perfect.
A concept.
I like it.
Does it even have a title?
No. Oh, let's. Yes. I just thought of one.
Okay, this is going to be good. Julian's games are legendary.
Uh-huh.
He's like Merv Griffin.
Okay, these are... Ready? I just thought of this.
Okay.
You believe me, right? Okay. Father Knows Jest. It's the best...
Fuck. Oh, fuck.
Did that hurt?
Yeah.
I have compiled a list of quotes from famous 80s sitcom dads.
Oh!
And you have to pick which sitcom dad said which quote.
Are you going to give us the list of sitcom dads?
Yes, I will tell you which three.
Okay.
Because
it's multiple choice.
It's multiple choice.
Okay.
Okay. So, Father Knows Jest on the spot. Not bad, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Am I hired for this show? Okay.
I take back what I said about you as a writer.
That's not writing. That is not writing.
I take it back.
That is not writing. That was survival.
Okay. You're back. You're back.
Okay. Let's start with having a child is surely the most beautifully irrational act that two people... Oh, I didn't tell you who the three dads are.
Yeah,
where the game gets good.
Yeah, no, this is where you...
The three dads
where
are...
The game gets good, but you fuck up and make the game worse.
Got exactly. And it only takes 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, okay. Bill Huxtable. Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's that, his cousin?
Yeah. Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah. It's what he has to go by
Old
now.
Bill Huxtable.
Who turns out, that's who she should have gotten with. Yeah. So Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah.
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Okay.
And Al Bundy.
Okay.
Are the three dads.
Whew. All right.
All right.
Why didn't you call this like your three dads or my three dads?
The first one I had was your three dads, but then I was like, Father's Knows Jest will make Sean's stomach hurt.
So it did.
Yeah.
Okay. Having a child is surely the most beautifully irrational act that two people in love can commit.
That's for sure not Huxtable. Who were the other two?
Tim the Toolman Taylor and
I think I'm gonna go Al Bundy. I'm going to go with Tim the Toolman because the other seems too verbose.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Like, I can't see Al Bundy saying those words.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's nine of these, so we can't break them down.
Then I'm gonna go with Bill Huxtable.
Bill Huxtable.
Yeah.
I went with Tim the Toolman.
Tim the Toolman. It was Bill Huxtable.
Yeah.
Bill Huxtable said that's
a doctor.
Just on the language alone.
That's a doctor's line.
Behind every successful man is a woman who didn't marry
Al Bundy.
Me. Whoa, he knew that one. Is that a famous one?
No, he just said behind every successful man. I'm in on that.
Okay.
Was it Al Bundy?
Yes, it was Al Bundy.
Okay.
So he got it right. So it's 2-1.
Okay.
And that's not my Coke, but I'll tell you whose it is.
Tim Allen.
I'm kidding. If you didn't get that joke at home, Google it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, ready? Here we go. What kept me out of trouble is going right to the edge and then thinking that my mother would be embarrassed and that I didn't want to embarrass her and that my father would be embarrassed and I just didn't want to do that to my family.
Well, that's not Bill Cosby because it's
Wow, that is such a nondescript.
It's such a long line.
Yeah. Can you read it again? I'm sorry. What's the country of origin?
What kept me out of trouble is going right to the edge and then thinking that my mother would be embarrassed and that I didn't want to embarrass her and that my father would be embarrassed and I just didn't want to do that to my family.
Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bill Huxtable too.
That was actually Tim Allen.
Ah.
As Tim Allen.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
By the way, I didn't tell you, it's not all from the shows.
Show?
It could also be the real dude.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You find twists to make a game that's like borderline almost unplayable.
And now you're adding actual quotes from the people?
Yeah.
Good Lord. All right.
Okay.
Hello, so, Detroit.
The
important thing is that you're fucking wrong.
All right.
And what did you say?
I said Bill Cosby.
Are there any
you
other...
said Bill Cosby too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, are there any other rules?
2-1.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, okay.
Men look at women the way men look at women the way men look at cars. Everyone looks at Ferraris. Now and then we like a pickup truck, but we all end up with station wagons.
Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
You know,
no,
I
actually,
should...
that's from Tim Allen's act.
You're really...
So I'm also using material from their seat.
Coach T, I never get this far in an episode. Do we usually cut out
Julian's
game? I can't
believe what's happening in this game. By the way...
There's only two more.
You said there was nine. We found three.
Yeah, Game Show Network is definitely knocking down your door for this one.
Did either of them get it right? Did
no.
Say, did it,
no.
Did
no.
Say
no.
Because we're not playing by the same rules.
Yeah, I know. Is there anybody else on the list of possibilities that can be doing these
quotes?
Listen,
if I knew you two were going to be such little bitches about rules, I wouldn't have even played this fucking game.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
All right. Men are liars. We'll lie about lying if we have to. I'm an algebra liar. I figure two good lies make a positive.
Al Bundy.
Nope.
He said algebra, so I'm gonna go Huxtable.
That was Tim Allen.
What?
Yeah, the last three have been Tim Allen.
Fuck. They're not even Tim the Toolman Taylor.
No.
All...
Wait, this isn't from the show either?
No.
This is just his stand up.
No, that one was from his memoir.
Oh my God.
But hold on. That's not my fault. There weren't any good quotes from Home Improvement.
Then you should have picked a different fucking game. You can't just pick a game you want to play and then put things in it that don't make sense just because you like the game.
Wow. All right. I didn't know. Do you want to play the game Let's Follow All the Rules all the time?
Because
sounds like a really fun game.
You're right. I'm with you. Let's
okay.
Next.
All right. Last one.
This one is actually Paula Poundstone. But dressed as Tim Allen.
Yeah. Now I wish I did that. Women don't want to hear what you think. Women want to hear what they think in a deeper voice.
Now, is this from a show or an act?
If I told you, it makes it too easy. No, this is from a show. This was done in a sitcom.
Is this Home Improvement, Tim Allen?
No.
So the men, what is it?
Women don't want to hear what you think. Women want to hear what they think in a deeper voice.
That's something that Cliff Huxtable.
That is a Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show. By the rules,
3-1.
I know we own this podcast 50-50, but you're suspended.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
That was so...
Last one.
Wait, you said
Oh, no, there's two more. There's two more.
Life, now Julie's going to try out one of his new jokes.
Yeah. Life didn't pass me by. It sat on my head.
Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
That's Al Bundy. Good job. Threats don't work on me. I've already been to hell.
Is that from an act or a TV show?
It's a TV show.
Al Bundy.
Tim Allen.
Al Bundy. It's tied. We need a tiebreaker.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
I really feel like we're good with the...
It feels done.
Yeah, it feels... Oh, one more.
I was out of them, but we need a tiebreaker, and I wrote one down on paper. I have no... I forgot. I don't know. I don't know who wrote this one. Okay, ready? Parents are not interested in justice. They're interested in peace and quiet. I remember now.
That's Cliff Huxtable.
Well, since it's tied, I'll say Tim Allen.
It was Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show. Josh Wolf has won. Hits another buzzer beater. Yeah. The Iceman.
This is one of those games where the winner is also the loser.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, did I win?
Yeah. You won. You get this rice pudding made with breast milk.
If it was made with breast milk, I would eat it. But yeah. Wow, that was, I have to tell you.
Was that one of the best games you've ever played?
Yeah, that was... I've never wanted a game to end so badly in my entire life.
You know what? I think that's 4-for-4 for me with somebody saying that was the longest game or that was I never want to play another game as long as I live.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
When are you going to bring in a game, Sean?
Oh, I've brought in games. They do not get... Julie just keeps trying new games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, let's see if it works. Oh, I brought in games. We do those.
Yeah, his games are great. There's rules.
Yeah.
There's winners
people
and losers.
People know what's happening.
Yeah, people know what's happening. Yeah. He doesn't change what the game is
in the middle
through.
Of the game, yeah. Without letting anyone know. Yeah. This is actually from the Univision. So this one's going to be in Spanish.
Telemundo. Yeah.
I mean, I do like the Coke energy of your game.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's all over the place. At the end, we're all opening a pizza shop together.
All right, well, thanks so much, Josh. That was awesome.
Guys,
you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah. I do a show on, it's like a weird game show. It's like if At Midnight met Whose Line Is It Anyway in Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's
oh,
weird.
What is it?
I do it every Tuesday night. You guys should come on together. It would
okay.
be great.
Oh, I've seen this online.
It's like a weird,
but I forget what
it's called.
It's
called Control Chaos.
Okay.
And it's an hour of live just...
That sounds amazing.
It's a game, but like I have weird guests that nobody knows are just showing up. They'll just walk in and sit down on a couch.
That's great.
And they disrupt the entire thing. But it's the most fun I've ever had doing in our business.
That's
great. Every Tuesday night.
Where is it?
Right up the street. Where do we shoot it, or where do you
you
shoot
like in a studio?
In a
or
studio
is it?
On a stage. And
nice.
I write it all. I set it all up. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. It's no politics allowed. And it's all fun. Like,
cool.
It's just about
love
just
that.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
The entire thing.
Like my game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We actually have a game called Cliff Huxtable, Tim Allen, or Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big winner.
And then none of the answers are from those people.
No, they're not from any of those people. Yeah, yeah. But that's what I do that. And I do a show with Freddie Prinze called Prinze and the Wolf, and tour dates, comedianjoshwolf.com.
Great.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yes, I will be at the Punchline in Atlanta. I don't know if that's that one. You are wearing a hoodie.
I love that club.
Yeah. It's in a diner, and
yes.
I fucking love it.
Great.
So I'm at the Punchline in Atlanta November 1st to the 3rd, and mm-hmm. then I'm at...
The most racist person in the world is a waitress at that diner next
door. Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I haven't met this delight.
You will.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat there every night just
sit
to see if I can
diner.
Get her.
Here's what you have to do. You have to sit at the diner and look like you might be racist.
Okay.
And she'll come up and just let
I'll
you
wear my Morrissey shirt.
Yeah! Perfect!
So, yeah. Punchline Atlanta, November 1st, 2-3rd. And then I'll be at Helium Philly for New Year's.
Oh, great.
Great
club. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Sean doesn't plug anything?
Sean.
Oh, yeah, you could always watch A Little Late with Lily Singh every night.
Motherfucker's a head writer on a network talk show.
I mean, so that was just kind of.
Yeah.
You didn't want to talk about that?
Oh, I've talked about it. We've talked about it.
Is there anything more fun than talking about a late night talk show?
Bye, guys.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.